as Brother Jeff was reading that passage of Scripture in 1 John 4, I was made to remember something that Brother Henry said one time concerning loving one another. You know, we're commanded to love our enemies. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. Now, you know, when you first hear that, that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a he that loveth not knoweth not God. And Brother Henry made this statement that was a real help to me. He said this: the very essence, the very foundation of loving one another, is this. We desire that those that we know and don't know, we pray that God Almighty have mercy and save sinners. That's what we want. We want the Lord to have mercy. He's going to have mercy on whomsoever he will. But that's a desire. Don't you desire that? Just think of the people that you deal with day in, day out. People at, you know, the store and this, that, and the other. And it crosses your mind. I know it does. I pray God have mercy and save this person. I pray the Lord bless that to us. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs 28. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture, verse 16. The prince that wanteth, lacketh understanding, is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Now, Solomon was directed by the Spirit of God to instruct God's people of something that is completely lacking in every man, every woman born in Adam. And here's what it is. We're all lacking this by birth. The faculty. The reason I'm saying the faculty of understanding is that's the definition. He that, the prince that wanteth understanding, the one that is not possessing the faculty of understanding, but not just understanding of temporal things. There's a lot of things that we naturally can understand. We can see and perceive some things, but the things that are eternal is what we're looking at. Not these temporal perishing things, but eternal things. And understanding of the Scriptures, understanding of life and life, after this life, lacking understanding. And just before the Lord ascended back into heaven, after his resurrection, I want you to turn with me to Luke 24. Just after he had risen from the dead and before he ascended back into glory. Luke's account, Luke 24, verse 36 to 48. I want us to read something about this understanding. Luke 24, 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now, how wonderfully the Lord manifested the reality of his resurrection. He's raised from the dead, and he appears to them. And when he appears, the scripture says they were terrified, frighted. And he spoke to them, and he told them, he said, don't be afraid. Look at my hands, look at my feet. He said, it's me, it's really me. And he asked him, he said, do you have any meat? He gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it. And then he reminded them. He said, now, these are the words. What are you saying is, this is what I told you before was going to happen. I told you I was going to die, and then 3 days later, I'm going to rise. And he said, this is what you're beholding, what I told you was going to be fulfilled. The things that were written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Everything that's been said, you're beholding it right now. As scripture says, then after he told them that in verse 45, he said, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now, what a difference there was now in these men. How differently the words of the Lord were made to be when he opened their understanding to a fuller understanding of what he had previously said. It wasn't that they were totally without any understanding, but they, like us, were in need of more understanding concerning the Word. Now listen, you that believe, you understand what I'm saying here. There may be something that you heard and heard, you've heard it for years and years. And all of a sudden, he said, wait a minute. Now I see what that means. It wasn't that you were without light, but we're all like this. We need more understanding. And only the Lord can give that. They beheld him now. He told them before, I will rise from the dead. Now they're looking at him. He's come from the other side, the other world. You know, when scripture says he cried, it is finished, and he commended his spirit into the hands of his Father. And now here he is. He's back. Now he's rehearsing these things in their ears. Soon they're going to be sent. He's getting ready to ascend back. And he's going to send them into the world, preach the gospel. And he's going to give them what they need. He's going to give them his divine blessing of a greater understanding that we still, right now, we all see. We see through a glass darkly, don't we? Lord willing, I'm going to preach in a few minutes after, out of Genesis 27, pick up. In Genesis 27, concerning Isaac blessing Jacob. I'm telling you, the more I look at that passage of Scripture in Genesis 27, the more marvelous it becomes to me. But just suffice it to say, these fellows are going to be sent into the world to preach the gospel, and what they need is they need some understanding. They need understanding about, they need to be qualified to preach the truth with some knowledge, some divine knowledge and understanding. Hold your place there. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. Verses 4 and 5. Passage we've looked at often. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. Knowing, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, I've said before, it'd be wonderful if we could look into the book of life. When the Lord told his disciples, he said, don't rejoice because the spirits are in subjection to you, but you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That book, the book of life, is going to be open for it in that day. And all whose names are found written in the book of life, they've got hope in Christ. They've got assurance in Christ, confidence in Christ. Their names are written in heaven. If we could see that book, that'd be wonderful. We can't now. We don't. That book's going to be opened on the day of judgment. But what kind of assurance have we got right now? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because, for, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So here the Lord is going to give them something that they desperately need. Understanding. He opened their understanding. A deeper understanding of the Old Testament types. These shadows and figures and these prophecies. An understanding that is made to be fresh, living, given by him. The establishing, the understanding of the establishing of righteousness that's imputed to everyone that believeth. I mean, we hear these things and we know these things are so. We thank God for them. But, oh, Lord, teach me. Open our understanding today. I mean, I was thinking about this morning, praying for this service right here. Lord, open our understanding. Give us light. They heard him before. Turn over to Matthew 16. They heard him. They heard him. They walked with him. This scripture, these two scriptures I'm going to look at right here, just made this our need of understanding to become very, very real to me. Matthew 16. Let's look at these scriptures here. Now here's his disciples walking with him. He's called them. They're walking with him. They hear him preaching. Matthew 16:6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you've bought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves, 5,000, how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You know, we hear that and we understand it. Understand it because God's given us some instruction. But understand it. But think about what they didn't know. He was warning them. Look at same chapter, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. You see how, listen, these These fellows walked with him, heard him. You think they'll understand. They'll understand exactly what he's saying. He opened their understanding to show them that which he must suffer. When he was raised from the dead, they saw him and they were scared to death. He said, "Why are you afraid?" And he opened their understanding. Perceive. To understand and possess the very faculty of understanding that when he was taken and crucified, that when he went to the cross, the Father made him sin. Now, there's some understanding that we've got, and we understand. We understand exactly what he said there. But boy, how we need understanding. He hath made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's a depth that we're permitted to go in our understanding. And then there's things that we will never in this life truly understand. The Lord Jesus Christ opened their understanding. And so it was, he said, "I want you back," in Luke 24. He opened their understanding. Then he said in verse 46, 47, "And he said unto them, Thus it's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." It behooved the Lord that he would suffer. So he told them. And that he would be raised from the dead, as he told them. And that repentance, remission of sins, would be first preached at Jerusalem. That's what he told them. He's according to the will of Almighty God, that place of his absolute rejection and crucifixion because of who he is, he said, right there in Jerusalem. That's the place that God was well pleased to have the proclamation of the gospel preached first, where they openly took him, mocked him, spit on him, robed him in that scarlet robe, beat him with a reed and put a crown of thorns on his head and took him to Jerusalem and nailed him. He said, "I want you to preach the gospel here first, right here." Giving him understanding. And after that, he said, "I'll go into all the nations." That's what he said, that 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. But you start in Jerusalem. You start right there. You start in that place. Then you go to all nations. Why? Because God has a people in all nations. All tribes and people and tongues. That's what Revelation 5 says. A people that's surely going to hear the gospel, going to hear the truth. And those that were given unto him, John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me," all of them, "they shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Do you realize the liberty that we have in preaching the gospel? Now, a message that makes salvation dependent on men, that has no sustenance to it, because there may never be another person saved. If I'm waiting on man, unless somebody exercises their free will, there'll be no... There's a possibility, but not with the gospel. We're still here in this world because God's got a people. He got a people he's going to save. And he's going to save them through this gospel right here. And so I can, with some assurance, with some understanding, we're preaching a message of hope and life. And God's going to be glorified in it because he's going to save his people. I know that. Maybe somebody here today that may hear for the first time. Never heard it like that before. Might be pleased to bless it. Give some understanding today. That this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This is it. No other way, Ben. This is it right here. No other message the Lord's going to bless. No other message that we understand our ruin in the fall. How do I know that all are dead in trespasses and sins because the Spirit of God's told us we are? How do I know that there's none good? There's none. Surely there's somebody in this world that there's some good in. No, there's none. From the crown of our head, sole of our foot. Let me tell you what the understanding that's been given by the Spirit of God to God's people. There's none righteous. None righteous. Not one. Not one. It's going to have to happen. Well, with understanding, I tell you what's going to happen. God Almighty is going to get His people under the sound of the gospel. He will get them under the sound of the gospel. If He has to send a Philip into the middle of a desert to cross the paths with one Ethiopian eunuch, He will. He's going to ask him, you understand what you're reading? How can I? Unless some man show me, teach me. He was in the book of Isaiah, and Philip started right there. And he preached unto him Jesus. That's what Scripture says. What doth hinder me to be baptized and confess what the Lord's done for me? What doth hinder you to be baptized? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. I believe He's the Messiah. I believe He saved me. And this is a way that it's confessed before men. Here's water. Philip went down there and baptized him. Not for salvation, but because of it. That's understanding. How do I know that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross? How do I know with understanding that all the sins of all His elect, past, present, future, how do I know that He bore them all and made sin? How do I know? 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know He did. And how do I know right now that I stand before God believing Him, believing on Him? How do I know there is no condemnation? How do I know that? What assurance do I have? Do you feel like there's reason for condemnation? I do. I do. How do I know there's no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus? How do I know? The Spirit of God told Paul, recorded in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation for them that be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay. Now, I've said all that concerning understanding. Now, turn back, and I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 28. Verse 16, the prince, that means the leader, the ruler, or it means the one in front. The prince that wanteth, that lacketh, in need of understanding. That's what Jeff was just reading about. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. When I heard him reading this passage, that's why I decided to preach this first. I was going to preach Genesis first, but I don't know. I'm going to preach this right now. That's what he's reading about. Many false prophets. The prince, the one in front. One that's lacking understanding. The Scripture says is a great oppressor. He's great in extortions is what that means. Great in extortions. He's one who desires to obtain, not through faith and love for those to whom he speaks, but rather longs to gain through force, threats, and manipulations, and wresting the scriptures. It's a great oppressor. It's a word that comes to press upon, to defraud. This way, he's a great oppressor. It's where it comes from, this word, another word, to defraud, to violate, and to get deceitfully. Many false prophets going out in this world. The Lord said, he said, I'm going to give you pastors after my heart, and they're going to teach you, give you understanding. This is the responsibility of a man that God has called. The prince that wanteth understanding is a great oppressor. He defrauds. He violates. He violates. Makes merchandise been sold. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. He that hateth covetousness, he hates unjust gain. I'm just going to define the words. Once you define the words, you understand what he's saying. It makes sense. One that hates covetousness, he hates unjust gain, he hates plunder, and he hates dishonest profit. That's what it means. He that hates that. Surely there's one that truly hates this, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you another thing. Those that he's given some understanding, those that he opened the understanding of his apostles. And if God gives a man, calls a man, gives him some understanding of the gospel of God's free grace, that man hates that false message too. He hates it. And he's taken to be aware of the warning. Again, that you just read about. Beware. Many false prophets going out into the world. He that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Make long or continue long his days as opposed to night. Not that the preacher's got any ability in himself, but he's going to proclaim the one that does. The one that gives life. He who is the just and holy God. Righteousness himself. The one who gives his people understanding. When we stand to preach, I can tell you, Paul said, we beseech you in Christ's stead. You realize the responsibility of standing before a group of people when you know in yourself, you know what you are. You know, I know something about me. And I'm telling you, I'll be the first one to admit, I know something of my frailty. But given the responsibility to preach to men and women in Christ's stead and to proclaim the word of the Lord and to admit, I know that these are not my words. I'm a proclaimer. I'm a preacher. I set forth that which thus saith the Lord. And I'm telling you, he that hateth covetousness, the one we serve, it's given us a heart to set forth that he prolongs the days. He gives them eternal life. And they're never going to perish. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. Let's take just a minute break.